Sherry Waddell is a noted author about forming intentional disciples within the church. And you may have heard me recount this story before, but several years ago, she shared this story on her Facebook page about a conversation between a Catholic priest who was serving as a college chaplain and an unbaptized student who wanted to become a Catholic. She wrote, "The priest asked, 'Why? Do you have Catholic family members or friends? Do you attend Mass? Have you been reading books? What has made you want to become Catholic?' 'No,' she recalled, 'no,' she replied, and then dragged him with trembling hands into the sanctuary and pointed to the tabernacle. 'I want that,' she said. She didn't know what that was, but she could feel the goodness emanating from the tabernacle. Divine grace had awakened within this young woman the inherent hunger that is within every human being. That is, to share life and love with God. I suspect that she eventually learned who is present in the tabernacle, why he came into the world, and how his steadfast love and mercy continues to impact many lives. This Sunday, and for the next four Sundays, we will hear the gospel proclaimed from the sixth chapter of the gospel according to John. Jesus performed a miracle of feeding a multitude from an initial intake of five loaves of bread, probably look like what we call dinner roll today, and two fish. Then Jesus will invite them to understand that there is another type of hunger that can only be satisfied by living in union with him. Loving relationships are built upon intentional actions that reflect the commitment. It cannot happen by chance or at moments we think are convenient for us. As we continue on these next four Sundays, Jesus will teach that one of the ways to experience this union is by receiving him in the most holy Eucharist. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of Christ, offered by a bishop or priest during Holy Mass, the bread and wine are totally transformed into his most holy body and blood, soul and divinity. The Lord Jesus is substantially present in the smallest particle of the sacred host and the smallest drop of the precious blood. Substantially, meaning the stuff that makes bread bread and wine wine, are totally transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. This has been the faith of the church since Holy Thursday, 33 AD. And yet, polls of American Catholics show substantial numbers who either do not know the teaching or do not believe the teaching that what appears to be bread and wine has now become the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, many think it's just a symbol. However, during the suspension of public worship from mid-March to mid-June of 2020, I encountered Catholics who had a renewed appreciation for the gift of our Lord in the Eucharist. They weren't missing a symbol. They were missing being nourished by God's very body and blood. And they also missed the opportunity to worship God together in community. We have resumed public worship for over a year now. The Sunday obligation was reinstated on June 26th of this year. And I'm rejoicing in the increasing attendance. And I'm remembering with compassion those who cannot return at this time, but they long to return when it is safe for them to do so. But I am also remembering with concern those who may have drifted away from the practice of their faith over these 15 months. Now, there are various reasons, but before the pandemic, our average mass attendance was between 500 to 600, even in the summer months. At the moment, it's around 250. That's for all three masses. So that's why I've asked you to get the word out about our schedule, which will probably remain in place into the fall. The church seats about 350 or so. So again, please spread the word. The Lord Jesus Christ, who offers the gift of himself in the Most Holy Eucharist, is the source of our parish life. And therefore, until the fourth Sunday of August, I will revisit a homily theme entitled Mass Movements, How Holy Mass Forms a Holy People. I attempted to preach this series in 2018, but the McCarrick scandal got in the way. And so we'll try to do this again and pray that the Lord preserves us from any scandals. There is a connection between the celebration of the sacred liturgy and the conduct of our sacred lives day to day. I'm also preaching this homily series because the Archdiocese of Baltimore is observing the Year of the Eucharist, which began on the solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, otherwise known as Corpus Christi, on June the 6th, and it will conclude on the same solemnity next year. In his letter announcing this observance, Archbishop William Laurie wrote, "As we emerge from this global pandemic, it is imperative that we renew our perspective on how the Mass and the Eucharist are foundational to our faith. Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, the treasure of the Church, is the source and summit of the Christian life. The Eucharist is the source of all grace and Jesus' real presence in our lives is the ultimate answer to the anxiety, uncertainty, and division we see so pervasive in our present circumstances." During my homily series, I will look at the parts of the celebration of Holy Mass, and I'll invite you to join me in reflecting on one or two words that will summarize the Sunday message. So this Sunday, we consider the introductory rites, and the word for reflection is expectation. What are our expectations about worship? I'm sure you've heard a common phrase among those who absent themselves from Holy Mass or even have joined other Christian communities. They say, "I do not get anything out of Holy Mass." And when we hear that being said, we should lovingly inquire about their expectations for worship. We come to Holy Mass in response to the command of our Lord to do this in memory of Him. Therefore, to come to worship is not about us. It is about Jesus, as He said, do this in memory of me. He didn't say, do this in memory of you. The theme of our diocesan year of the Eucharist is encounter Christ's presence. And we have the wrong expectations if we think worship is about us. If we come with expectancy to meet the Lord Jesus as He chooses to present Himself, then we would never conclude, I don't get anything out of Holy Mass. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. But He's not going to force feed us. The purpose of the introductory rites, R-I-T-E-S, is to gather people for worship and to prepare us to receive the Lord who comes in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. Offering praise to God with a hymn followed by making the sign of the cross reminds us of our reason for worshiping. Then we entrust ourselves to God's mercy and give glory to God in the highest. We can never praise God enough for His love, mercy, and grace. We close the introductory rites with the collect or the opening prayer. And really what's supposed to happen when the priest says, let us pray, we're supposed to pause for a moment. And we're all supposed to pray silently. So you're going to have a little bit more silence after let us pray. And since I've told you that's what we're supposed to be doing, praying silently, no one now has to wonder what's wrong with Father Harris. He's up there quiet. But maybe a short prayer about, Lord, thank you for the opportunity for me coming here today. And then the collect does just that, collecting all of the prayers into one. For those who are able, we stand to offer prayer to God. Then we sit to receive instruction from God. In the gospel reading, the multitude had approached Jesus because they had seen or heard about His miracles of healing the sick. And they wanted to see more. Jesus performed miracles for the sake of those who needed them. However, He also used these miracles to dispose people to listen to His message and to invite them to follow Him as Lord. Jesus asked Philip a quick question that seemed impossible to solve. However, it was not possible for Jesus. A boy had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He overheard the conversation and in his faith offered this food to Jesus. This boy saw the same crowds. And in the sight of Aaron the apostle, the offering looked meager. Yet in the sight of Jesus, it was the beginning of something miraculous. The boy cooperated with Jesus in offering what he had. And after the miracle, the multitudes began to have the wrong expectations about Jesus. So he withdrew again to the mountain alone, but the multitudes continued to search for him. What we will hear over the next 4 Sundays is that many among that multitude wanted Jesus only to perform for them. They were not interested in him as a person. And when he extended the invitation for them to be intimately identified with him as his disciples, many of them rejected Jesus. He just did not meet their expectations. We know that it cannot be that way with us. Yes, we had a renewed appreciation of receiving the Lord in the Eucharist and gathering together as a community when it was taken away. Let's not be lulled into a sense of complacency now that we're able to gather again. An unbaptized woman approached a priest, trembling before the power of God, who offers his love completely for our salvation. That's why I can never understand people saying, I just can't get anything out of Mass, because they don't understand and need to of a gentle invitation that Jesus offers himself wholly, unconditionally. And certainly we do not want to insult the Lord and say, well, that's nothing. The unbaptized college student exclaimed that the most important thing in her life was to be in a vital, life-changing, and life-sustaining relationship with the Lord Jesus through the ministry of his church. That is what the Lord did to draw her to him. But she would later find out that faith cannot be sustained by feelings. They are sustained by God enabling us to trust, which is not a feeling, but an act of the will. And so are the expectations we have when we come to worship during Holy Mass. If someone asks you, what happened during Holy Mass today? The simple answer is, I've met Jesus today.